give you a half a minute to wrap up your conversations. So if I've not had the privilege of meeting you, my name is Mike Brubaker, and I'm the interim pastor while Pastor Chuck is recuperating with his battle with cancer. Continue to remember to pray for him, his wife, Sean, his mom, and the siblings, as well as children and grandchildren. A couple of things. Before I share a couple of things of introduction, allow me to pray, please. We want to bless the offering. Lord God, thank you for gifts, offerings, tithes, men and women, boys and girls, teenagers who are giving faithfully. Bless them. Bless those who are not or cannot give. We pray your blessing of multiplication on the offering, that you would multiply it and use it for your honor and glory. And then thank you, God, that today you will be with the people. In fact, we pray for safety of millions of people around our country who are traveling, families, single adults, college students, hunters. Grant them safety and calmness in the hectic pace of it. We pray for those who are suffering, those suffering from the devastating fires. God, bring hope and comfort and peace to them. Bring the same to those who experienced loved ones being injured or dying in shootings, those discouraged, those with great fear, addictions, anxiety, depression, those in recovery. God, we pray for the salvation of our loved ones who are still lost without Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. God, draw them to yourself. We pray all of these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. As one or two of the gentlemen said, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. There are four Sundays before Christmas that are Advent. Now, I won't be here next Sunday, so I'm preaching the first message of a four-part series on Advent today, okay? And there is a calendar that these young men are going to hand out. You can hand out one to every person. And this is an Advent calendar. It was made by the director of children's ministry. And I know the ladies are making an Advent calendar in the coming days. But this is one that has a countdown with scripture, a theme in scripture for days 1 through 25. And maybe you know the meaning. It wasn't until about 24 years ago that I learned the meaning of Advent. It means to come, or the coming of a special event, or the coming of a significant person. That's what Advent means. It comes from French words, and I don't speak French, so enough of that. The first coming, the Advent that we look forward to right now and go with the countdown. And this would be significant to use as readings with your children. And hey, some of you may already have Advent Christmas readings from another source. Go with that. But this is a great one made up by Aaron O'Hara. So, the coming of Jesus to earth, his incarnation taking on God taking on flesh, is what we're counting down to. And notice down at chapter, at day number 25, Christmas, it's Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. Because as we think of this Advent, we also are reminded there's a second Advent, and that's the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. So I just wanted to give that background and that introduction. It's going to be the message series is going to be about four people. Today is Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's one of my heroes. I'll explain that later on. 2 weeks from today, I won't be here next week, but 2 weeks from today, it's on Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus. So all of us who are step-parents, you don't want to miss that, because there's some great insight about Joseph as a stepfather to Jesus. I didn't realize how much there is about him until several years ago. Third one is Anna. Wrong, that's the fourth one. Third one is Simeon. Check it out in Luke chapter 2. Fourth one is Anna. So we have two men, two women. I'm an equal opportunity preacher. Okay. Don't ask me why I said that. Couple of other things about Mary's song. Oh, there's an outline in the bulletin if you want to follow it. Because the passage today, but we're going to look at an earlier paragraph, but the passage that's on the PowerPoint that I'll read in a bit, and it's in your bulletin, is Luke 1, 46 to 55. It's known as Mary's song, the Magnificat. It's known as Mary's prayer. And the theme in there is God intends for us, because Mary pictures it, she exemplifies it, God intends for you and me to surrender to Him. And we are going to see it big time in Mary's life. Look at the message in a sentence. My surrender to God brings magnification and praise to Him. So my surrender, when I'm surrendering to God, submitting to Him as a man or a woman, it brings about a magnification and a bringing of praise to Him. And let's just see, and this is not in your bulletin nor on the screen, but listen along, or if you have a Bible, you can turn there. Luke chapter 1, but we're going to start at verse 26. You can also find it in your electronic device, of course. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And I might make a few, in fact, I will make a few comments as we go through this. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. So that's where Mary lived. She grew up there. To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he, meaning Gabriel, the angel, said to her, "Hail, favored one." Now, favored one there is graced one. Notice he didn't say holy one. There are some faith traditions that teach that Mary never sinned. These are good people, many of them Jesus followers, but I respectfully disagree with them because there's only one who never sinned, and that's Jesus Christ. Couple of thoughts before I keep reading on. I grew up not thinking much of Mary. I grew up hearing cynical comments that I regret were used because they influenced my thinking, calling certain people groups Mary worshipers. And I think that we can become, as Protestants, so cynical that we low-key Mary. Okay? I just believe we do that. We low-key her. And then other people, groups, high-key her and go overboard. So hopefully I'm going to hit a balance here. Now, it won't be perfect because I'm not perfect. But hopefully we'll hit a balance. So she's graced one. What does grace mean? It means favor from God that's undeserved. Favor from God that's undeserved. The ultimate grace gift is salvation through Jesus Christ. We never deserved it. And sometimes you and I get mercy mixed up, because I'm going to refer to mercy later on in the message. Mercy is, listen, not getting from God what we do deserve. We deserve punishment, judgment, hell, spiritual death. When we trust Christ as Savior, we don't receive that. That's mercy. But we deserve it. So, back at the ranch, in verse 28. And coming in, Gabriel says to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." What a promise. We always want to know that, but he goes on. But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Once again, the word for grace. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Remember the meaning of Jesus? Savior, he shall save his people from their sins. Jehovah saves. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." One of the songs we sang earlier was addressing God as Most High. And Most High means, indicates that he is totally divine, high, lifted up. And the Son of the Most High implies that he was fully God. Son of God actually implies fully God, which can be which gets confusing by some people. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom." This is all about the Lord Jesus, who is going to soon be growing in Mary's womb. "And his kingdom will have no end." And I love Mary. And she said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High," there it is again, "will overshadow you. For that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." Well, here's a powerful declaration. "For nothing will be impossible with God." And listen to Mary's surrender statement. This is one of the most powerful statements of any person in the Bible, man or woman. It's one of the reasons she's my hero, one of my heroes. Verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the bondslave, the female servant." By the way, the Apostle Paul, this can be used, female or male servant, used the term bondslave years later in his letters. "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord," she's talking about herself, "be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And so in these things, we hear this. Mary, as a virgin, is going to conceive, listen, from the Holy Spirit's supernatural seed. I cannot explain that, but I believe it. Supernaturally, the egg in Mary was impregnated by the seed or the sperm of the Holy Spirit. Now, he doesn't have a body, but somehow he pulled it off because he's God. Okay? We'll stick with that. And so, imagine she didn't have sexual relationship with Joseph, her fiancé, or any other man before that impregnation by the Holy Spirit. And she didn't have sexual relationship with Joseph or any other man until Jesus was born. And that is huge. And we'll see that when we get to the message on Joseph. And so we have some things here that show Mary as a great woman of faith. She is not listed in the chapter in Hebrews of the Hall of Faith, that I like to call it, rather than the Hall of Fame. But she sure could be, because she was a woman of great faith. Now, I want to read, no, not yet. I want to tell a few things about Mary, and then on second thought, we're going to read this. It's in your Bible, but I'll read it off the screen. This is the song, the prayer, the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." Notice those contrasts. "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." So I want to point out a few things about Mary that just are significant. Number one, this is sung, prayed, chanted by a 14 to 18-year-old young woman. In those Middle Eastern Bible times, women would get betrothed, engaged, as early as 12. They would not have sexual relationship with their fiancé until the ceremony occurred, and then it would be marked by a sexual relationship and fulfillment. And so these great words, these powerful truths, are being sung and prayed by a 14 to 18-year-old young woman. It's fantastic. Not only that, she is Jewish, and her ancestry is listed in Luke 3. You can read that at another time. Why do you mention she's Jewish? In the Roman Empire, Jews were hated. So that's a strike against Mary. Fulfillment, the Messiah was going to come through the lineage of Jewish person. Very significant. She's engaged to She's engaged to Moses, right. She's engaged to Joseph, and his lineage or ancestry is in Matthew chapter 1. They didn't have ancestry.com yet. And so they're very kind through Luke, by the Holy Spirit's guidance, to give these two ancestry lists. Number four, she is godly and obedient as a young lady. In this song or prayer, there are at least 9 references to Old Testament scripture. If I were writing a prayer or a song to be sung here at Potomac Believers Fellowship, I'm not sure that I could come up with 9 scriptures off the top of my head from the Old Testament. Maybe I could. This just shows the brilliance, the obedience. When we study scripture, it's also humility, because we're placing ourselves under God's leadership. I also believe that there's an implication here that her godliness was from good parental teaching. Parents, grandparents, have a major influence in the spiritual formation of our children. How are you doing there? 6th point about Mary. She's quite the role model for especially girls and women, but also boys and men. Sexual purity, we think our culture is a wicked culture. And it sure does have a lot of wickedness. But part of the worship in this culture, it was false worship, was having a sexual dalliance with some of the leaders. Excuse me, the leaders had it with some prostitutes in temples. That's pretty serious. That's a culture that's misguided. Mary remained pure within that. What a great example for us women, girls, men, and boys. Number 7. I'll say it again. She's one of my heroes. So let's get to it. We are going to see my soul. In the NIV, it says glorifies the Lord. It's actually magnifies. My soul, my inner being. The word for soul literally is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E. Sound familiar? It's where we get psyche from, psychology. So when a Christian says, I don't want any of that psychology stuff, they're walking on dangerous ground. Because it wasn't man's idea. Some of the themes can sure sound that way. It was God's idea. Psyche is the inner being of a person from where we get our word, the study of, or psychology, study of the soul. Not only that, her focus is from the inner being, so her focus is on the Lord, not on things, not on how good she is, not on, oh, what if this is going to happen to me, circumstances, but on the Lord. And then the second part of that verse 46, my soul magnifies, it makes big the Lord. That's awkward English, but the word mega is part of that magnify word. God is as mega as he ever will be. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing, but sometimes our actions or our lack of trust make him appear small. Let's own that. We can make him appear small. He's not, but my lack of trust can sure make him appear that way. Mary is making him mega by her life, by her reporting or testifying what great things he has done. Listen to what Mary says about the great things he has done. Verse 49, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Well, what are they, Mary? Verse 51, whoops, not yet. Verse 51, he has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered, now listen to this, normally the proud can be, wow, he or she is so confident, and they might just be proud, and God has scattered them with his mighty arms. Verse 51, he scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. So because he's all-knowing, he knows the thoughts and motives and attitudes inside you and me, inside Mary, and inside those people of Israel. But not only that, verse 52, he, the Lord God, his mighty deed has brought down rulers from their thrones. Now, Israel, Jewish people, can surely remember that. He brought down kings of the lands, the Canaanites, as the Israelites were coming into Canaan. He brought them down right and left. He even brought down the Israelite kings when they were disobedient. Remember King Saul. And he has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. We'll get to that later. Why else, or how else, did Mary make big the Lord? She declared his name holy. And what's the name of the Lord represent? His personhood, his character. And what's the word holy? What is she declaring? In verse 49, his name is Holy. Holy means set apart, pure, perfect, righteous, without sin. There's no human person like that, only one, Jesus Christ, and he was very God himself. Holy and pure is sexually pure, spiritually pure, pure in every way. And she declares that, and listen, though she wasn't perfect, she lived it. A holy, pure, maturing lifestyle. Next, Mary made big the Lord by declaring his mercy continues to future people. His mercy, what is that? His not giving to generations, by the way, in the verse there, 50, it actually says his mercy is upon generation to generation. And the mercy is not giving judgment and damnation to those who deserve it. And in the history of Israel, they surely experienced his mercy right and left. He, out of his holiness, could have wiped them off the map, but he did not. Listen very carefully. This, by the way, because she mentions generation to generation, it's from Psalm 103. You can also see it in Lamentations 5, if you want to write that down. I believe she's thinking inside of her mind, my parents did this well. They passed on an example of holiness. We do not get our salvation from our parents. This is really big. We must personally trust in Christ as Savior. Nor do we get our lostness from our parents. Their actions can't damn us or condemn us to hell. But listen, when there are parents who are living out a holy or consistent walk, it passes a trend of righteousness on to the children. And grandparents too. When there are parents and grandparents who are living out a wicked walk, it passes a wicked trend onto the children. Neither one consistent obedient to God, grandparents and parents, doesn't guarantee salvation of the children, but it sets a trend. Wicked actions by grandparents and parents doesn't guarantee that the children won't get saved, but it sets a negative trend. And I believe Mary's declaring it there. But we don't stop there. The next point, my spirit rejoiced in God. Let's read that verse. Verse 47. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Did you catch that? Mary declares the baby that's going to grow in her womb, her Savior. She is recognizing that she was sinner, that this Jesus, who is going to grow up and be perfect man, was also perfect God. She is recognizing that he would, though I doubt if she understood all of it, that he would take on her sin and all other sins of those who believe. She was called blessed, and note that she accepted that description, blessed. But it doesn't mean, that just simply means she was honored for obedience. Literally, it means happy or joyful because of obedience. My spirit, my inner being, experienced joy repeatedly, that's rejoicing, because I, this is Mary speaking within this line, I am forgiven of my sins. My son will be my Savior and is my Savior. My inner being is joyful because I am, this just boggles my mind. She is implying, I am in God. I am covered by his spiritual protection. And this young lady is owning and declaring all of this, and she's 14 to 18 years old. I was throwing baseballs around when I was 14 to 18. I was already a born-again Christian, but I don't think my head was as spiritual and my heart was as spiritually focused as Mary. Here are some reasons why Mary rejoiced in God, her Savior. She declared that he remembers his servant. He remembered her when she humbled herself as a bondslave, when she surrendered. He remembered her when she was really not known in the world. He, God, the Most High, the Mighty One of the universe, gave help and remembrance to her. Listen what she surrendered. She's pregnant before the marriage ceremony. She surrendered her reputation to God. She surrendered her womb to God. She surrendered her whole being to God. She surrendered her future marriage to God. We're going to see more of that when I preach on Joseph. But not only that, he, the Lord God Most High, gave help to his people and her people. Listen to verse 54. He, referring to God the Most High, has given help to Israel. These are her people. And Israel is sometimes called God's servant, especially in Isaiah. In remembrance of his mercy, people forget, God remembers. You may feel forgotten, God remembers. Why do we celebrate the bread and the cup, communion, once a month? Why do other churches do it every Sunday? Because we forget what God does, what God has done, and God wants us to remember. When I got a hold of that, when God brought that center stage to my mind and my heart, this became hundreds times more meaningful rather than going through the motions. I need to move on. He remembers our humble state. She declares that about herself in verse 48. For he has regard. Regard can be synonymous to remember. For the humble state of his bondslave. She's referring to herself. And then verse 52. He, Most High God, has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted. He not only pulled those down, but the contrast. There were those who were humble in her, among her people, and he exalted them at just the right time. He remembers. We forget. And finally, he remembers his covenant and mercy. Look at verse 54, or listen to it. He has given help to Israel. That's the covenant that he made it with. That's the people group that he made his covenant with, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke, he's describing more. As he spoke, God spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring. Listen carefully. I referenced this covenant a couple of weeks ago. God is remembering that with Abram, I believe it's in Genesis 15 and then repeated in Genesis 17. In fact, the cross references are there. God is remembering the covenant that he made when he said to Abraham, all the nations will be blessed. I am making a covenant with you, Genesis 7, and that's when his name became Abraham. God declared that. And then his descendants would be like the stars, imagine that, in number. And then in chapter 17, verse 19 of Genesis, he repeats the covenant and says that through Abraham's seed, so we have this miraculous conception in the Old Testament, not because Sarah was a virgin, but because Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham was 100. No wonder they both laughed. If Margie and I live to that age, and we find out that we're pregnant, God help us all. God help us all. It was a miracle for the sake of the covenant. Okay? And that is very significant. But it doesn't stop there. This covenant goes across not only to Jewish people, but to non-Jewish people. In Romans 9, 10, and 11, we non-Jewish Gentile people are grafted in, like they graft into a tree. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, listen to what it says. Now the promises, covenant, were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Seed also equated to descendants. But listen, he does not say, and to seeds, because the descendants were blessed from one seed, the seed of Abraham, producing, and Sarah impregnated, producing Isaac. And it says, and to seed, as referring to many, but rather, not referring to many, but rather to one. And to your seed, that is Christ. And so what is happening here is the miracle conception and birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah is compared to the miracle conception of Mary by the Holy Spirit, and that seed became the Savior, Jesus Christ, and in him all life occurs. That's the bell telling me to finish up. Mary treasured up all these things. Listen to her reaction. Pondered them in her heart. This involves amazement at the Christmas story and the mystery of it. The virgin conception and birth, that's amazing and mysterious. The incarnation, God, very spirit, perfect, holy, taking on flesh and becoming man. That's amazing and mysterious in the person of Jesus. How about this Advent and Christmas? We not go through it like, oh, I know all this. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have that problem, but I can. Da-da-da-da-da-da, yeah, baby Jesus came to earth. That's neat. Let's have some wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R. Some amazement, I know it's true. Let's be like me, but I'm going to ponder and treasure this because I don't fully understand it. Not only that, look at what it took. Took her memory, she treasured up all these things, took her affections. She treasured up all these things in her heart, affections, emotions, and it took her intellect. She treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let's be that kind of person. Let's sing songs and pray like Mary did, using our memory, using our affections, using our intellect. Praise team, come on up, please. This Advent and Christmas season, I want to encourage you and me to use our memories, affections, intellect to surrender to God. Let's pray. Father, we desperately need your help to do this. Margie and I are going to battle, and probably all of us will, the busyness. Wonderful things, but ancillary. Church dinner, our own private dinners, school plays, Christmas gift buying, cleaning our houses, decorating, cookies. God, I'm getting tired praying it. So, Lord God, help. Help us not to, just help us to experience amazement, to experience mystery, to experience an attitude of Mary's, full surrender, full joy, full making God big. Be near to us as we worship you through this song. In Jesus' name.